Welcome to Rome, boys. On this episode, we're going to discuss 10 ways to keep the Lord's Day holy.
Just 10.
Maybe more, but...
All right, so where should we start? Number one?
Sounds like a good place.
Let's go with three.
Go with three?
No,
start with three?
It's the third commandment.
Oh, so. Well, right. Number one, watch the Mass. So there's outlets to watch the Mass. EWTN broadcasts daily. That's pretty much the obvious one, I would think. But other parishes are starting to do it as well, to where they're broadcasting on YouTube or even Facebook. We were talking earlier about... our own Father Ariel at our parish is broadcasting it live on YouTube, as well as Father Josh at the cathedral, and Father Ryan Rojo and Father Freddie. They're all doing, and many others are doing their own broadcasts from their homes or just from even from church. Is this valid?
I mean, in these circumstances, yeah, this is the best thing that we can do. I mean, you know, can't obviously go to Mass, and if it's I think it's all we can do at this point. Yeah.
I know a lot of people are kind of upset that the Mass was canceled. Is there, I mean, are we committing a sin by banning us from going to church?
Whose sin would it be, though?
That's true.
That's a tough question to answer.
No, we've been dispensed. You know, all the bishops in the United States have said, like, you know, your Sunday obligation is not required at this point. So, you know, we make the best of it. We can do, I think maybe one of these on the list is make a spiritual communion and try our best to receive our Lord in that way, in that spiritual way, and the best way we can. Read the Mass readings ahead of time, especially doing that as a family, you know, getting together and doing the liturgy of the Word and spending time to reflect on the Word of God, and then do a spiritual communion. It's the best we can do. And then pray like crazy for this epidemic to end and hopefully get back to Mass and be on fire for our faith and the desire, the hunger for the Eucharist again. I mean, that's hopefully the goal for all of us.
I think that's probably where we need to, where this is important, is how do we stay focused and stay engaged in our faith during this time of, well, tempted laziness, really.
Right.
I mean, we're not required to go to Mass on Sunday. So.
Right.
I could just sit on the couch, watch TV, mow the yard, do just anything that I want and just not fulfill my own personal obligation.
It's the time to step it up. I mean, with grocery stores not having everything, oh my goodness, and we don't have this, we don't have that. I mean, this is the time to do that and go out of our way to make sacrifices, because prayer is good, obviously, but sacrifice and fasting, especially during Lent, to end this thing. I mean, the other day, Pope Francis did a rosary, and around the world, thousands of people were praying the rosary. That's awesome. That's what's going to end this thing, to find a cure for it. And so there's people that need prayer, but also fasting and sacrifice, especially as men. We need to step it up and do that.
For people to be so separated, but yet come together, it's kind of the example of what Christ wanted right through communion.
Right.
Even though we're quarantined and we're in our own places, I think, like Pope John Paul II said, that the family is the domestic church,
right.
And now's the time for your family to grow closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Kelly talks about genius in Catholicism, and what strikes me when I hear that every time is I need that Sunday Mass.
Mm.
I need that that reset button to be hit, and if we're not hitting that reset button through these times, it's not going to be good, you know, for our individual futures, obviously, that of the church. We don't want to lose numbers and lose people and eventually souls, hopefully, but or, you know, hopefully not. So that genius in Catholicism, we've got to make sure that we do our part. The church has done its part.
Yeah.
So watching the Mass, EWTN, local parishes, and be a part of the solution, too, I think, like you're doing, Joe, just helping by offering what you can, you know, by
your time and your talents,
technology.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any kind of I mean, there might be some people out there, maybe not so educated in the faith, that are worried that maybe they are committing a mortal sin by not being able to go to Mass.
I think there's all kinds of questions being asked. Yeah, I think that's definitely one of them. I mean, it was the first question that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, am I right in not going, and how am I justified? But you mentioned,
it's totally cool, and I think it's awesome that priests are trying their best to still bring communion to people that are able to, whether it be in their cars in the parking lot or whatever they can do. I think that's awesome because we need that grace during these tough times, especially during Lent. I mean, Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. We are in that process. Could be longer. I mean,
Lent, isn't it crazy?
Yeah, we're going to remember this Lent forever, right?
This
yeah.
falls on Lent.
Yeah.
It's just crazy timing. Or maybe it's God's timing.
It's God's timing, yeah. And you said the reset button. I mean, like, this is it, man. It's time to step it up. And
Do you think, you know, some people might start by saying, okay, well, if we don't have to go to Mass and we don't, I mean, you kind of alluded to it with just doing kind of what you want to do and getting lazy, that in their Lenten commitments, I mean, these aren't New Year's resolutions, right? We're doing, doing this for ourselves and to lose weight. And things along those lines. I mean, I think we've got to stay committed to our Lenten commitments.
Yeah, because the devil's working on that laziness. And
yeah.
He can get people to fall away from the church.
Absolutely.
If they were already kind of on the fence, this could be the opportunity. So we have to, again, pray for them and reach out to them and say, hey, you know, come on back, you know.
Yeah. Right. So number one, we had watch the Mass, so stay engaged, right?
Stay engaged.
We alluded to several of these. Pray and bringing our families together, praying the rosary with the Pope. There's been some Instagrammers and tweeters out there that have that have made comments to praying the rosary with the Pope and getting engaged because technology now is probably more important than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask a question. Has something like this happened in our church history?
It has, but not on this scale. And, of course, media and worldwide, I mean, and the vast expansion of it and the spread of it so fast.
Yeah, I mean, there's been hostility in countries, you know, and wars and battles and things.
And they have wiped people out.
But did someone come out from the Vatican and say, no more Mass?
No. No. Not that I am aware of. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know through church history?
No, not that I can remember or
we could
ever
be
hearing.
Missing something.
It's great, Scott.
I know, this is heavy.
Do you guys have comments on that? I mean, please add it.
Yeah, leave any comments about anything for us, even like maybe future
keep it
shows
positive.
That you want to. Yeah, please keep
anything,
it positive.
Anything, by definition, means keep it positive.
Mm-hmm. But no, I can't remember any time that we've ever just not had a Mass.
Yeah, at this wide scale level. Yeah, across the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even during the persecutions, they were having it in secret and in hiding, and I'm not recommending that now. But, I mean, because the priests are still offering Mass for us.
Right.
It's just that we're not able to participate.
Right.
Can we put
for our own safety.
Some links in the show notes, maybe, of some places where they can go to Mass and EWTN, even Diocese of San Angelo, Texas.
We'll put the link to all of our, that we know of.
Yeah.
Links to masses that are being said, and so y'all can have that opportunity.
It's huge to keep that connection with the Eucharist, since we don't have Mass, to at least make an effort to daily or as often as we can go into the church and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is still there.
Yeah.
And it's even more empty, and he needs our presence as much as we need his. If not, you're not allowed in. Let's say the doors are closed. I remember the movies Padre Pio. They would walk around the church and pray the rosary.
Hmm.
You know, it's a nice day. Get outside, you know.
Right.
It's good also for as far as germs and that kind of thing, too, to be outside and get the vitamin D from the sun and everything else. So any way we can stay as close as we can to our Lord in this time is huge.
We have to remember priests say Mass every day. And so the Mass is being said around the world.
Right.
It's not like it's stopped.
Those graces are still flowing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're always... Everyone's united in the Mass, right? It's the church, triumphant, militant, across the spectrum.
That's a good segue into prayer.
Say your prayers, you long-eared galoot!
To pray. I mean, the Mass is the ultimate prayer, the highest form of prayer. But you said something, or texted something yesterday about praying for patience. Equals indulgence. Could you explain a little bit more?
So the indulgence just came out from the Vatican that if people, you know, go to confession, which we can get into that and the circumstances, how that might be difficult at this point, but we can gain an indulgence if we have the coronavirus. Okay, hopefully none of us do, right? You know, we're helping with
six
someone.
6 feet, right?
Yeah, right.
This is starting to sound like Abner. Abrasive Abner.
Hello, my name is Abner.
or if we're helping a patient with it, or we're praying for someone that is for coronavirus. So please pray for those people that are afflicted with it, and then confession, and then, you know, receiving the Eucharist. Now, the Vatican said, okay, maybe you're not able to receive the Eucharist or go to confession. So reading sacred scripture, going to adoration, reading.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah. But those are the qualifications to be able to get the indulgence. So,
is there somewhere they can go to find this?
That would be Catholic News Agency has an article. I know that probably USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yep, yep.
don't know what that is, because I never did.
And then you mentioned also rosary and the chaplet. Those are our second other, or are right under the Mass as far as importance.
Rosary as a family, the family that prays together, stays together. 3 o'clock, the Divine Mercy. That's a great, it takes 5 minutes. We all can find time for that.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
You know,
my youngest, Luke and Gracie, they fall asleep to the chaplet every night. Put the chaplet on a CD. And
well,
then
that's it. That's great. That's good. God be with you,
They'll have great prayers, right?
Right. Might be praying in a dream, so that's good.
Well, it's funny, at night now, it's like, can you put on the chaplet? Okay. So.
When you said praying for patients, I thought you meant like as parents and all the kids in the house.
Yeah, that's part of it, right?
When I read it, that's what I thought too. That's right.
We're going nuts.
Yeah, right. Hospital patients, nursing home patients.
That's kind of what I thought you meant by that, but anyway. Then you also, novena.
Mm-hmm. There's a plethora of novenas.
Who is novena?
And so the novenas are a 9-day prayer. The original one was from Pentecost, around that time period in the early church and in Acts of the Apostles. And so it's important that we find, you know, there probably is a novena to the saint of Saint Corona, right? I don't know.
Maybe Saint Corona.
If there isn't necessarily one, there's, you know, all kinds of novenas. Our Lady of Perpetual Help is a great one in this time period. Our Lady of the Rosary, St. Joseph, you know, pick your novena and do that as a family for 9 days.
And it's coming up for at least the United States. The declaration is up in about that amount of time. So today's March 21st.
Oh, gotcha.
And so if we were to start that now by the end of this National Declaration of Emergency, it's probably a good time to start.
It'd be cool if each parish had a novena to a particular thing, so that can keep the parish united as one. So Father or the parish council decides that we're going to do a novena to this particular one. Here's the prayer. Yeah. Email it out or whatever way, and that parish can pray that together in their homes, you know, together.
I can already see a live stream novena in our future.
There you go. Any way we can keep the community together.
There's so many good ideas here. I hope that everyone's picking up on some of this stuff and just get one, just get two,
We can even do that on our Rome Boys Facebook page. Like and subscribe.
I like it a lot.
We could maybe even just start a novena and put it on there just for each day. Day two.
There's so many organizations within local dioceses, within the church in all facets. So Ablaze Ministry is one that's local to Texas, but they're national. And so for their youth program, I mean, they have thousands of people that are staying engaged in their youth program and youth ministry. So there's plenty of resources out there. Just the age of technology to take advantage of it. Now's the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Number three on the list, adoration.
Yeah, so some parishes are having it. I saw one priest, this is so cool, in his rectory window. He put Jesus in the monstrance there. Whoa. I know our priest is trying to hopefully put that in his rectory, and you can kind of do a drive-by. You can drive by and park there for a few minutes, say hey to Jesus. You know, I mean, you may need to get out of the way for the next car, but whatever it is, find a way to stay close to our Lord. And like I said earlier, you know, even going to the church and visiting Jesus there. And, you know, once again, the quarantine stuff, don't get too close to other people and stuff. But in our parish, there's usually just a few. So
for any holy hours, usually it's one person that signs up per hour,
right?
Two, so
do it in a parking lot.
Yeah.
It's just driving by. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And then if there is any adoration chapel, of course, as long as there's not 10 people in there, I suppose that would be fine.
Now, does Jesus count?
That's kind of like a child in the womb. How many people are in your family?
I was thinking about that this morning. Okay, between the three of us, we have 17 kids, almost 18.
Well, I wouldn't say that our child is almost, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's right. Okay, so we have 18 kids between the three of us.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
If just you have nine at your house. One more person, and you're not allowed to be there.
I know. Yeah.
It's like the meme of the map with of the house plan. You know, looking right. at the map for vacations plans. This weekend. Yeah. Which room are we going to go to?
All right, number four, give.
Yeah, how many ways we can do? I know there was one organization I heard on Catholic radio the other day that so many places are closing up and helping the poor and helping the homeless because of the quarantine. And so they're like, please send donations because, like, we're the only ones helping the homeless, helping the poor.
Yeah.
You know, that rice bowl, think about it. Catholic Relief Services depends a huge on those rice bowls that were given. And now, you know, did everybody pick them up? You know, is everybody filling those up? And where do we return them if we are filling them up? So, you know, that's the financial side, of course.
Right.
But, you know, doing charitable deeds for others, thinking about the elderly and the sick and those people that can't get to the grocery store. And if you're going, maybe you can do it for someone else to pick up a few items for them. So,
you know, like Catholic Relief, Catholic Charities, some of these organizations through some of the hurricanes and tsunamis, all you had to do was text just go onto their site. So I'm not aware right now of any of those solutions. But
I haven't heard any kind of, you know, donate to this for the coronavirus. I haven't seen anything like that yet.
One of the things that Bishop Sis talked about in his letter and notification on the diocesan website was those donations. The tithing is going to be down in parishes all across the country.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how much of it comes in as cash?
Unless they do electronic giving. Yeah.
Comes in as cash is not accounted for during this time. If you think about
bills
that,
are still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, continue to give to your parish and.
Yes,
absolutely.
I guess the utility bill will be a little bit less, right?
I hope so.
At church, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe not at home.
I was thinking that with Catholic schools. I mean, they wouldn't have to do that, and that's at least they're saving a few bucks. But gosh,
yes.
It's tough.
That's going to be tough financially.
And then, of course, the aftermath, maybe a little off topic. Well, we're on the topic of give, but with people being out of work, so not only are they not tithing right now at their Sunday Mass, but if they're without a job as the future goes on, how's that going to affect future tithes when they do get back into the church on Sunday?
Second collections like our parish, you know, those organizations rely on that in all the parishes, and now none of them have it. Wow,
yes.
How are they going to?
That's going to be very difficult. But what you were saying earlier about reset, and now that people are at home, or not forced to be at home, but they're at home and they're with their kids, I'm thinking, I'm hoping that this is an opportunity for families to kind of reset their priorities and see that, you know, maybe reevaluate the things that were important to them and now see, okay, I'm spending more time with my kids. Maybe I should do this more often. What is really important to me? All these things have been canceled that we've been running around going crazy to try to meet
down.
To. And yeah, it's a chance to really slow down and kind of reevaluate things.
God has a plan.
He does.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's so much good that comes from suffering.
Mm. Misery, misery, misery for the Lord. Mm.
And no one wants to say that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the opposite of what the world says.
Yeah.
You know, the world says, no, seek your joy, seek your pleasure, seek all this stuff. But you're saying the opposite, joy and suffering.
Yeah, it's not just media.
Okay. The church is saying joy and suffering. Jesus is saying
it's
joy.
It's true, though. I mean, all the good that's going to come of this, fathers that work outside the home are going to get to know their children more and their wife because they're going to get to see what it's like to actually have lunch at home, you know, peanut butter and jelly smeared on the walls and having that stuff cleaned up and homeschooling. Everyone is now
homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how this stuff comes full circle.
Yeah. I mean, 99% of the church is the laity. So this is our call to rise up. I mean, this is our invitation from God.
Yeah.
He's permitting it. He's allowing it.
You know, I know we joke a lot of times, like, wish God would just like, slap me in the face with what I need to do.
Yes.
This is a pretty big slap in the face.
Here we go. You and I are like, okay, we
get
the hint.
Okay, we get the hint now. Okay. All right, well, number five, consecration.
So there's a consecration to St. Joseph that came out with Father Donald
Calloway.
We just
completed it.
You just finished it.
We
what
just
do you
finished
say
it.
About that?
Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. We loved it.
Super popular, awesome.
I should say we didn't get to complete it because, you know, on the completion of the consecration, you need to receive the Eucharist and go to confession.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't able to complete it.
You will.
So we will. But he's
actually,
Father Calloway has actually come out and challenged people to do it in the next, I forget when it starts, but it ends on the feast day of, where he's the patron of workers.
Okay, St. Joseph the Worker. Yeah.
St. Joseph the Worker.
First, I think, or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I think yeah. so. If here in the next few weeks or so, when yeah. you start it, then you will complete on St. Joseph the Worker.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's really requesting, you know, and he said, if you've done it, do it again.
So, yeah.
And my wife took that to heart. So.
Yeah. We're doing it in history that we have a consecration to St. Joseph. So parishes with St. Joseph, or anybody can do it. The most popular one, though, is the consecration to Our Lady. You know, mm-hmm. St. Louis de Montfort was the first one. And then Father Gately is the one. He does 33 days to Morning Glory.
Divine Mercy.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, and also his work on that. So, I mean, these are different consecrations that people can do to Our Lady, to Joseph. Obviously getting us to love Christ more and putting him at the center of our life through that time.
Yeah. Well, I find it kind of also divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, but this consecration to St. Joseph just comes out at the same time that this pandemic hits, and he is the patron of the sick, dying, you know, the protector of the church.
The worker.
The worker. I mean.
Again, more comfortable death.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then we just had the feast day. Feast of St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I tell you, it's just all coming, if you look at it.
Yeah, from God's point of view.
If you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention, you're like, wow, he is working.
Yes.
He is working here. Number six, confession.
So, if we can't make it to confession, a good thing to do, St. Ignatius Loyola said, every day examine your conscience. You know, look at your sins, look what you've done. If you're at home, I don't know, maybe it'd be a challenge for us dads that are not used to it. Examine your conscience, look at your sins, look at the positive things that you've done today too. Always stay on the positive too. If you're able to go to confession, great. I know the Vatican's working on general absolution right now, so if it's not possible, I've seen priests that are doing confession outside or have a screen and have this 6 feet away. The drive-through confession.
I saw that.
Isn't that awesome?
Where
the priest is here.
Sitting on the curb.
You park here and,
the guy's sitting on a curb and you just pull up.
So priests do
that's
it, man.
Fantastic.
Out of your window.
I'd do it.
We've joked about that in the past with Father. You know, how about a drive-through confession? Oh, my goodness. Here we have it now.
It's funny, we drive on the left side of our cars, but you're going to have to, everybody's going to be looking like a postman or, you know, post office worker sitting on the right side of their car confessing out of their window.
Just make sure you go alone, though. Because
I was about to say that.
My van with all my kids. I'm like, I don't want you guys to hear what I got to say.
What if you have your wife in the car with you? It's like,
close your ears. Step outside.
Earmuffs.
You would say earmuffs to them. Earmuffs.
Which they already know.
Father's still having confessions as far as I know right now on Saturdays.
He said outside he was going to do it.
He was going to do it outside. Okay, cool.
So, and I was reading something on the diocesan page that if there is a full sheet that separates the priest.
Right.
This is all about droplet precautions, right? Mm-hmm. So that there's that 6 feet of distance for fluids and things to not be transferred in contact isolation. So there's a way where you can still go into a confessional. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you know, the high touch areas and using hand sanitizer and all that.
Maybe no face to face this time of year.
This
time. Right. Number seven, mass readings.
Yeah, so USCCB again, or Laudate app is a great app where you can get the readings each day. And I encourage everyone to read those and just don't just read them and then put it back down. Like, what is God trying to tell me, you know, through these readings and in this time period and my family? And try to do it when no one's around, you know, kind of have some quiet time to be able to read the readings. But that's an awesome practice. You know, we may talk about it later, but even just reading the Gospels, you know, read one of the Gospels with your family, or don't start there. You know, just read one chapter. You know?
And, you know, kids like to sleep in, right? They're not having to wake up and go to school now.
Right.
Yeah. And so if, you know, husband and wife, whether they're both working or not, maybe their routine is that they get up early in the morning. It's a perfect time for them to sit down together. Mm-hmm. And just read the readings together.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's awesome. There's a website, Catholic 365, and they had talk about the readings for the day. They had, you know, to concentrate, to consider, converse, and then commit. Or four kind of points on what you can do to really dig a little deeper into. And they have, I'll put this in the description on a link to it. But it kind of goes into things you can do, like starting off with an opening prayer, and then you know, consider using your mind to consider what the scripture is telling you, and then have a conversation. It's like, okay, what if something's kind of strange or funny, mm-hmm. well, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. You know, and then commit to do something about it with the closing prayer and stuff like that. So yeah, that's a neat way of doing it as well.
Like you said, Chris, you know, do that with your, you know, your spouse. You can do that with your kids. But it's good, like when we go to Mass, lots of times we hear the priest, they do the homily, we receive, right? Mm-hmm. And we go back home and everything just goes back to normal. But it's good to say, like, how did God speak to you? You know, little 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 8-year-old, move mm-hmm. your way up. And God speaks to all of us, you know, so get more engaged and more active that way versus just receiving.
And, you know, a lot of times kids go to children's liturgy mm-hmm. and they come home or back to the pew with this coloring page. And so maybe we can use this opportunity as parents to find that coloring book, or mm-hmm. those activities.
So many activities!
That they might be interested in mm-hmm. and engage them mm-hmm. that way.
Absolutely. Well, number 8, Catholic movies or entertainment.
Yeah, so there's a lot out there. I mean, EWTN mm-hmm. is a great source. Ignatius Press puts out a ton of good Catholic movies, and it's so great for me as a dad when they're like, "Hey, Dad, can we go watch a Catholic movie?" I'm just like, "Oh, they." I mean, not supposed to say that word, but during Lent, you know. But you're so happy, like, to hear that. I mean, Padre mm-hmm. Pio, John Bosco, John Paul II, Saint Paquita, Saint Rita. There's so many good movies Therese. Out there.
There's also Teresa. A subscription that you can get to. It's called Formed, F-O-R-M-E-D. Mm-hmm. It has tons of stuff on it. Movies, Bible studies, just talks. It has tons of stuff, and it has lots of children's programming as well. And it mm-hmm. is, I mean, instead of subscribing to Disney Plus, why not mm-hmm. subscribe to Formed? You know, right. that would be a good way to do it. Formed, if you want to finance this program. quick ad for you. Number 9, spiritual communion. Well, you talked about that a little earlier.
Yeah, and there's some on, you know, Catholic News Agency and EWTN has formal ways. But basically what you're saying is, Jesus, I want to receive you in Holy Communion, and I can't, and I would want to, so please come into my heart. And you could say that multiple times during the day. You can go do that in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You can do that from home. But it's a good practice to do anytime, any day, epidemic or not. So
yeah, absolutely. And number 10, read the Bible.
What?
Hey. You know,
Catholics have a kind of a stereotype of
dust it off,
and that we don't really read the Bible all that much. Even though I would think you would find that most Catholics, you know, you read something, even at Mass, we're like, oh, yeah, I know that story.
I've heard that story.
I don't know where it's at in the Bible, but I've heard that story. I know this.
Number 7 on our list, Mass readings, right? Mass readings are Bible readings.
Right. That's right. Exactly. So. Do y'all do any kind of special
Bible in a year?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of different versions of them, but that's the one I have. And
it's
you
like
get
3 chapters a day, or what do you have to do?
Well,
to
it varies, mm-hmm. so it's about the same amount. So mm-hmm. you might go through an entire chapter, you might just go through a certain passage, mm-hmm. But it keeps you on track to finish the Bible in a year. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's interesting because I have all these really big thick Bibles.
No.
And Bible in a year just happens to be this big, and it's the entire Bible, but it's just laid out in a way that you can read it and stay on track. And the cool part is, because we all miss days, you know, whatever might happen in our lives,
sure.
We go out of town for the weekend and forget it.
Oh, got to triple up now.
Yeah. Right. So, but catch up. You know what you need to go back and mm-hmm. stay up on. It is just linear, so it's Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like the Bible timeline, you know, chronological
per
se.
Which we highly recommend. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna get into that.
Which is probably one of the best things to be, you know, engaged in right now with your mm-hmm. families is Bible timeline.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you have time now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're at home. We have a little time.
That was punny.
That was plenty. We have time. I know my cousin of mine, he gets up before his kids do, and his wife, and he calls it his time with God. Mm. And he'll get his cup of coffee, and he'll sit down and read something. I'm mm-hmm. sure it's either the Bible or something that he's reading at the time, but he calls it his time with God, mm-hmm. Or his Jesus time or something like that.
Yeah, always good.
Yeah, if you can set aside time to do that, I mean – before the kids get up, or mm-hmm.
Or nighttime,
you know, or nighttime with the kids. We've started doing it. We did it with our older kids. There was this 365 bedtime Bible stories.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And one for each day of the year. We did that, and our two oldest kids, they just Yeah, they know a lot of the stories. Mm-hmm. They still remember it from there. And
those
we're
pictures,
trying to,
yeah.
Yeah, and we're trying to pick that back up with the two younger ones since we have kind of a pretty big gap. And what's great is that the older ones are helping. They're reading the stories too. So this is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For sure. And I think we're going to see a lot of people staying connected through our phones and apps. And so it's just making a choice to find that outlet that is going to be a little more wholesome, and engaging in the right groups and in the right ways. And so I think this is a great list. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be purposeful, though. You know, we're going to have to make a choice and a decision, as always. One of the most simple things that I've actually learned going back just the past few months is every day I wake up, as soon as my eyelids open, is, Lord, I give you this day and everything in it. So, and just every day since then has been fantastic. And so I think we can continue to do that during this time. Mm-hmm. How do we just allow God to fill up all that empty space of time that we've got on our hands?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
well, I think that's great. And we hope that Rome Boys can be one of your new outlets as far as things to, get engaged in your faith and to help stay close to the Lord and really learn more about who you are and who He is. So we hope you'll join us again sometime. Please like and subscribe and share. And we'll be back soon. And click that little bell so that you'll be notified of our next new content. Thank you. God bless.
It's the four bell pill.